I tell you to be different and creative and think this way. A much used business cliche. Kayla.
What is outside the box?
You got it.
We're flying high with the wings and talking all things lacrosse. You're now listening to the Outside the Box podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. OTB Nation, welcome in to another off-season edition, episode number 243 of the allegedly award-nominated, allegedly top nine NCAA podcast on the planet edition, allegedly still ranked number nine in the lacrosse podcast rankings, and of course viewable on YouTube, Outside the Box podcast. At this point, we need our own IMDb awards page. Needs to happen. So anybody at IMDb, just list our accolades on the site. You know, we keep them things on us. But it is the Outside the Box podcast, part of the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. KB and Deej coming at you. We're going to do a little Deadpool here, breaking the fourth wall. We're recording a day early, so if anything happens on Thursday in the lacrosse universe, we won't know about it until Thursday, because we're recording this on Wednesday, because DJ's going to Pistons game, about to be like Lil Bow Wow playing basketball, which is pretty sick. I'm very jealous.
They let me on the court and they give me a contract.
He's about to get that 10-day.
Hey, chicken.
About to get that Exhibit 10 contract.
And then head, and they cutting me, but that's fine. I'm rich. We out here.
And I'm happy that this is like the one blip in the off season that is lacrosse happening right now, because my brain has been so off the lacrosse radar, because this has been one of the most glorious times for our company, because the Phillies are in the postseason, the Eagles are undefeated, and the Union are the number one seed in the MLS, and we're riding the Philadelphia success high right now. So it's been nice to be like, boom, here we go. So not a lot to talk about again this week, but we do have some stuff. We've got back-to-back weeks of a Drake Porter Do review, back-to-back weeks of a Colin Squires top five, and back-to-back-to-back weeks of our three-part Shootout for Soldiers interviews. Last one is pretty awesome. It's somebody who got involved with Shootout during the pandemic, during like an online like webinar, and when Shootout for Soldiers couldn't happen, they organized their own in their city and connected at Shootout for Soldiers Philly for the first time in person. So it was super cool to kind of get that perspective on how Shootout for Soldiers has really, you know, impacted so many people. And I want to thank everybody who tuned into last week's episode with PT Paul, because it was the response was overwhelming and the response was very positive having PT Paul on the episode. So shout out to PT Paul, a fan favorite so far on our Shootout for Soldiers series, but we got another one for you, and it was just perfect. I was talking to some people last week, DJ. I was like, I'm very happy that we sat on those for this time of year, because not only does it, you know, help Shootout for Soldiers continue to, you know, get their message and everything out there after their season comes to an end, but it also helped us, because if we didn't have those interviews these last 3 weeks, y'all would have had like 35-minute episodes.
Or us just babbling about some BS y'all don't want to listen to.
Man, let me tell you, speaking of BS that probably no one wants to listen to before we shout out the sponsees. So we talked about last week how we got the adult Happy Meals. I tried to go back and see if I could get another one to try to get a different toy. Because I'm one of those people that if it's a small quantity of collectible, I'm going to do my best to be like Ash Ketchum and get them all. All three McDonald's in the living radius of Vineland, New Jersey. That, for the record, for people that don't know, Vineland, New Jersey is the largest city in the state of New Jersey by square mile. The three in my driving distances, all of them said, oh, we don't have that anymore. We sold out yesterday. I was like, thank God I got mine when I did. Damn. That would have
been sick.
I would have been disgusted. But yeah, we got some big things coming down the pipeline. Obviously, NLL doesn't start for another like 2 months. But we're working on some fun stuff in the meantime. Obviously, big milestone episode coming up in 7 weeks. Where does that put us? 7 weeks from now is, this will come out on the 14th. That's 1, 2. Bruh. Couldn't time this any more perfect. Episode 250 is week one of the NLL season.
Look at that.
That episode will drop the morning of Wings Thunderbirds. That's December amazing. 2nd, which is,
that is
right before we full-blown did our original disgusting-looking branding for this podcast. I got the Facebook memory about how we're bringing lacrosse to the network a couple weeks ago, so that was pretty fun to go down memory lane with. But yeah, OTB anniversary's coming up too, which is pretty nuts, to say the least. Like, this is the third branched off podcast in network history, I want to say. Third or fourth? I think it's fourth, because we did Main Pod, Top Bins, and then in some order, Eagles Enemies Dan Russo Show, and then OTB. And look at us now. Almost 5 years into this thing. And I think 5 hosts of this show. Across the board. Myself, Dom, old co-hosts. At one point, it was like during post-games, Brooke and Alex. Harrison. Dom again. And then DJ.
And we're here.
And we're out here. All that to say, make sure you guys are following us on the socials at OTB LaxPod, Twitter, Instagram. Follow DJ on Twitter at @SCS_NextGreat. Follow me at KBIZZL311. Check out the website, undergroundsportsphiladelphia.com. Subscribe to the podcast feed. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, we are there. Leave those 5-star ratings and reviews. Let everybody know that we are a number 9 NCAA podcast on the planet. Help us climb those charts and get us on the board. And, of course, be a friend, tell a friend. Subscribe, Apple, Spotify, 5-star ratings and reviews. And like I've said in the past, too, if you guys leave 5-star reviews on Apple, we'll read them on the show. So leave them there. And, of course, subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel where you get full video episodes of OTB and all of your favorite Underground Sports Philadelphia podcasts in full video form. We are currently on our hashtag Road to 1K Gauntlet Challenge. We're at 253 subscribers right now. I said it last week. I think by Halloween, we can get to 300, if not more. So subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel. Just search Underground Sports Philadelphia on YouTube. It'll pop up pretty much after you type sports. Subscribe, smash that like button, ring the bell icon, and comment down below your thoughts on everything we're talking about on today's show. And be a friend, tell a friend. Tell them to subscribe to the YouTube channel. We need to get to 1K. which I'm hoping will happen like early 2023, if not sooner. Big thank you to our sponsors who make this show happen. Tomahawk Shades, best small batch eyewear in the game. Deej's Care Package on its way soon, which I'm very excited for that to get here for you. Even though DJ and I are experiencing like all four seasons in a calendar day at this time of year, at one point in the day, you need your sunglasses. You got to pop your Tomahawk Shades on. And when you're watching all your favorite shows, movies, sports, lacrosse highlights, you got to wear the Blue Light Plus glasses, protect your eyeballs. You only get one pair of eyes. So you got to protect them. Thanks. You can't look, you can't end up looking like King Viserys on House of the Dragon. If you know, you know, because man, that shit was disgusting. We'll be talking about that on streamer season this week. Go subscribe to that podcast as well. When you go to TomahawkShades.com, you get 25% off your order with code USP at checkout. That's TomahawkShades.com, code USP for 25% off your order at TomahawkShades.com. The Candy Boys, Kenwood Beer, the official beer of Underground Sports Philadelphia. You guys can go to KenwoodBeer.com, use that all new and improved Kenny tracker to see who's got Kenwood Beer on tap in the Philadelphia area. You got to be 21 or older to do so. And, of course, please drink responsibly. The homies over at Bino, they're dropping all these new boards leading into the World Cup. That Arsenal board is fuego. So go to BinoBoard.com. It is the next big tabletop game for your man cave, your she shed, your tailgates this football season, your NLL tailgates coming up, your PLL tailgates in 2023. You should have a Bino board on deck with you. Go to BinoBoard.com, that's BinoBoard.com, and get 10% off your order using code BinoUSP at checkout. That's BinoUSP, BinoUSP, for 10% off at BinoBoard.com. Deej, we got a couple big NLL signings to discuss in terms of they are hashtag podcast guys. Guys we love, guys we stan, if you will, for the young crowd out there. But we did have a pretty under-the-radar trade go down last week as Matt Dunn, famously defenseman of the year candidate year in and year out in the PLL, the Georgia Swarm traded him to the Colorado Mammoth to team up with Zeddy Ballgame, Zedzilla, and the defending champs, in exchange for a conditional third-round pick in the 2024 entry draft. Now, to me, and a lot of people probably don't know this, Matt Dunn, like, plays in the NLL. To me, that is a certified steal for the Colorado Mammoth. To go get a player of the caliber that is Matt Dunn for a conditional third-round pick that's 2 years out, you don't even know who's going to really be available. You don't even really know who is going to, you know, be on your radar at this point. You're basically drafting Matt Dunn in the third round, and that's pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah. I mean, Matt Dunn is round one talent in all respects, whether he's playing indoor with a short stick or out on the turf with a long stick. He's, you know, one of the best when it comes to playing defensively, keeping someone on the outside, taking away angles and, you know, turning the ball over and doing all the things a defenseman is supposed to do. To get him for third round talent is more than a steal. And then you add him to an already championship caliber defense. And I mean, he might not even play defense. They could put him into that transition role and he's running alongside Caputo. And I mean, I don't know if I'd ever want him and Caputo coming at me side by side in transition as a goalie or a defense. That's scary. Or if he does play defense, he's just bolstering an already extremely strong defense with Dylan Ward playing in net. Like, it's a win-win for Colorado. And I mean, I understand what Georgia's trying to do, trying to do here, make some changes, flip some things up, possibly get steal some talent with third round and having another pick in that round. But, you know, it's so far out. We'll never, you know, we won't be able to see what it shakes out for another, I mean, if we're being honest, 6 years or so.
Yeah, and at the very soonest, like 3 years, if it is somebody who is, you know, like somehow falls into the third round as a legit player, whatever it may be, or, you know, they trade that pick for something. But, like, I'm taking Matt Dunn every day of the week and twice on Tuesday, and I have their defense portion of their roster pulled up here. I don't know if you're ready to hear how disgusting and deep this Colorado Mammoth defense is. I'm going to go in reverse numerical order. So this is the Colorado Mammoth defense according to their official team site right now. Nick Musso, Zach Geddes, John Lintz is back with the team this year. Nick Finlay, Jake Higgins, Anthony Joachim, who just recently signed a new 3-year contract with them. Shout out to the boy. Matt Dunn, Jordan Gillies, Robert Hope, Warren Jeffrey, Brett Craig, Josh Sullivan, Tim Edwards, Noah Lebar, and then on the transition game, it's obviously Joey Capito, Jalen Chaster, and then you have Dylan Ward. That's crazy. Like, you can legit, like, pull up a starting defense right now of Warren Jeffrey, Robert Hope, Matt Dunn, and have Tim Edwards there, Brett Craig there, Jordan Gillies, like, Joachim, Jake Higgins. Like, that back end is absurd.
That's literally one of the best in the league right now.
And I haven't even talked about their offense that is so deep and super young with all the talent that they brought in free agency and the draft this past offseason. Like, they're going to be really fucking good again.
Extremely impressed with their offseason moves. I mean, it's hard to look in the mirror after winning a championship and saying you need to make changes or you need to add to this or, you know, you need to bolster this or, you know, anything. Like, you just did what every team is trying to do. You accomplished the ultimate goal of the season, and now you're turning around a few weeks later, a few months later, and saying, okay, we need this, or we need to take away this and add this. Like, that's extremely hard, and they've done that, and they've done all the right moves moving forward. Like, I don't know if there's another team in the league that has prepared themselves for this season better than the Mammoth have.
Yeah, I think when you look at grand scheme off seasons of, like, improvement or just, like, full-blown, like, team construction, I think there's, like, four that really stand out right now. And obviously this is not a preseason preview or anything, but, like, just talking about this here, like, it's Colorado, it's San Diego, I think it's the Wings, and Las Vegas. Like, yeah, Las Vegas is an expansion team, but to me, comparing it to the most recent expansion team in Panther City, who had a fantastic year last year in year one for what it was, Vegas went out, did their expansion draft, made trades during it to add already proven veterans like a Charlie Bertrand, like a Rob Hellier, added those guys, signed those guys, and have just continued to wheel and deal and put experienced veterans in an expansion roster that's also going to feature rookies, feature young guys. And I think what Vegas has done in year one and haven't even hit the floor yet is super impressive to me.
Yeah, I really like the moves they've made in trying to take a look at some of, you know, San Diego and Wings, what worked for them. Take a look at Panther City, what worked for them, and then what didn't work for them, as they did have, you know, some up and downs throughout their year, and take a plan out of all of that together to put together the best team for them moving forward in their inaugural year. And I think they've done a phenomenal job. I think another team that did a good job that's kind of fallen through because they made so many moves right away and then have been completely silent since then is Albany. I think they did a fantastic job at putting together a team of guys who, one, want to be there, want to play lacrosse, want to win, want to try, but also know each other, want to be around each other, want to play with each other. Like, as much as you want to play and want to win and, you know, love lacrosse, you have to want to be around the guys and want to play with them and want to love them as much as the game. Like, your locker room and your bonds within the locker room on and off the field matter just as much as playing the game and your skill.
Yeah, 100%. And that trade, like, I saw that when we were looking pre-show, and I was, like, floored that that's all it took to get Matt Dunn. So congrats to the Colorado Mammoth on landing a superstar for a third-round conditional pick in 2024. The Riptide signed a guy who sounds like he should be playing in the NHL, Justin Tkachuk. don't know. I mean, with a name like that, I would assume that that he has some sort of relation to the NHL, to Chucks, but signs with your Riptide, Deej.
And I mean, it would make sense, as you know, he's probably from Canada. It's what explains why we don't really know him. Played juniors or, you know, whatever level of box he played up in Canada. And, you know, now we're going to get our shot at him. But I wouldn't be surprised to find out he played hockey before, or that Brady and Matt played lacrosse from their time. I mean, everybody does in Canada. You learn in school and all that. But wouldn't be surprised to know they were competitively playing lacrosse at one point.
He played at Hartford.
Okay.
He is from Ontario. And don't know, but if anybody knows if he's related to the NHL Tkachuks, let us know in the comment section on YouTube. Panther City signed Nick Damiu to a 3-year deal. Love that for them. He was a big time contributor for them last year, and I think he's only going to continue to be a core piece for them. And then the San Diego Seals signed a guy who sounds like he should be on the Las Vegas roster, Jesse Gamble. Should be on the Vegas Desert Dogs. And then going through, speaking of Vegas, they signed Rob Hellier to a 2-year deal. Vancouver signed Ethan Woods to a 1-year deal. And we've got Ryan Benesch, his deal with Halifax is finally official, signed a 1-year deal to go back to Halifax. And then the Albany Firewolves signed Jackson Nishimura to a 3-year deal earlier this week. And then as we record this on Wednesday, the boy, the pride and prodigal son of Philadelphia, Matt Rambo, signs a 1-year deal to return to the Philadelphia Wings. So Matty Boy is back in South Philadelphia playing for the Philadelphia Wings, along with Blaise Reardon, Trevor Baptiste, and the boys down there in South Philly going for a championship. So shout out to Matty Rambo. Excited to see him at the Farg this season, baby.
They're not winning the championship, so pipe down.
Hey, crazier things have happened.
You're right.
To be great, fair, not that they were a bad team, but we saw two teams back-to-back years now upset a favored Bandits team in NHL Finals. So
that is
wilder true. Things have happened, and I think the Philadelphia Wings are poised for a pretty solid playoff run. But those are the NHL signings that have happened. Actually, I stand corrected. The biggest signing of the NHL offseason is our pal, the pal of pals, friend of friends, Mackie Jenner, signing with the Halifax Thunderbirds to be their comms director. I believe that's the title. I could be wrong, but she's going to work for Halifax, and there couldn't be a bigger off-season acquisition for a team. Mackie's one of the most talented and like genuine lacrosse minds out there. Everything she did with TSN last year with the moments during the game was fantastic. And Halifax is getting one of the most talented humans on the planet. So shout out to Mackie and shout out to the Thunderbirds for recognizing her talent. And she's going to crush it with Thunderbirds.
It's always great seeing former lacrosse players stepping into, you know, the professional side of lacrosse. Like, it's only going to get better when there's more former players playing, because they know what players want. They know what fans want. They remember the feelings of playing and like the things they wanted when they played. It only makes the sport better when people who genuinely love and care for the sport are in positions to make the sport better. Can't see Halifax digressing in the communication department, the marketing department, social media, any of that with her at the realm. They were already great, so I only see it getting better.
Yes, shout out to Mackie and shout out to that whole Thunderbird squad that they're the homies. But without any further ado, we're going to kick it to our final installment of our Shootout for Soldiers interview series, I guess you want to call it. Our final installment here. So stick around, and we will be right back with a very fun segment for you guys. Here is the Shootout for Soldiers Part 3 interview from Shootout for Soldiers Philly. All right, everybody, we're back. It's KB with the Outside the Box podcast. More interviews coming from Shootout for Soldiers Philadelphia here at Episcopal Academy. It's been a blast so far. Let everybody know who you are, where you're from, and what first drew you into getting involved with Shootout for Soldiers.
Sure. My name is Victor Scamilio. I'm from Easton, Pennsylvania, which is the Lehigh Valley, about an hour northeast of here. Easton's the home of Larry Holmes, Easton Assassin. I first got drawn to Shootout. I was a coach starting in 1998, and so I was there for the first Gulf War, for the second Gulf War, when we started bringing guys over. And I'm also an attorney, and I had some of my players write wills before they left and went overseas and were deployed. So when Shootout came around, it was a perfect opportunity for me to connect lacrosse to that experience for me, and has been something that's been a bond for my team. I'm here with Team Old Dog tonight. We have a number of my former players out there who are playing, and they've been doing this as long as I have now with Shootout. So it's been it's a great experience. It just really is. And it's a great way for our I would say young men, old men now, to give back to people who have put on a uniform to serve us.
You know, you brought up being an attorney and having to, you know, write wills for players. From your point of view, what was that experience like, you know, to be connected to somebody on that level, and then them asking you to be the one to write a will for them as they get set to go to war? What kind of emotion goes into that, and what kind of mindset does that put you in, knowing the connection you have with those people?
That's a great question. You know, all of your training in law school and your practice and being a law clerk doesn't prepare you for that phone call when it's, "Hey coach, I'm getting deployed. I need to talk to you." It really, it solidifies that the connection you have made with these young men transcends the field. You know, it's been a while since I've coached high school. My players now have kids. My players are now coaching their own children. And so the connection is very deep, but nothing prepares you for that day. And I prayed every day until they came home.
And, you know, to see an event like Shootout for Soldiers like this, pretty much in your backyard as well, you know, to see that sense of community and that sense of, you know, togetherness with what they're able to put on, you know, on the field for this event. What does that do for you, you know, having that connection with so many, you know, former players and former, you know, servicemen and women? Like, what is it like for you coming out here and seeing the people turn out the way that they do?
To me, it just continues that emotional connection that these young men, when we get the first email about Shootout, are signing up and ready to go and ready to make the drive down here. When we first came out here, we were here at 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And so these guys were thrilled to hear that we were at 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock this year. But to see that it's not even a question, and now they're bringing friends on. I see one player's kid is here in a chair watching his dad play. It just continues that connection. And the people who put this on, Episcopal for allowing the facilities to be used, for Eric and Alexis, for all they do to keep this going, is great. I mean, not having it in Philadelphia for 2 years was tough. So last year when they announced they were not going to have a Philly location, Team Old Dog actually decided to put on a Shootout in our hometown, and we raised money doing it in a game amongst ourselves, which was really neat. And that to me, nailed it. One of my former players said, "Coach, don't worry, we'll get something going here in the Valley." And sure enough, they did. And it was fantastic.
Yeah. And you bring up Eric and Alexis too. Like, tell me a little bit about your connection with them. We were talking earlier before we started, you know, recording and everything.
the power of social media is just so huge now. Just let everybody know how, you know, you kind of connected with them and, you know, what that relationship has kind of forged for you guys over the years.
It's really interesting. So 2020 was my son's senior year of high school. I am also a college and high school referee. So I was planning my schedule, and almost every day was lacrosse in some fashion, either as an official or as a dad. And just so excited for his senior year. Then all of a sudden, it went blank. The schedule went clear. Everything got shut down. So I had to do something to fill the time. And USA Lacrosse is fantastic, and they put on webinars. And I watched this one about how to deal with, you know, stress, how to deal with trying situations. And Eric and Alexis, I think, with two other people, put on a podcast about SILs and how to make decisions in the fog of war and battle. And I really just was taken in by it. And so I started looking at these guys and seeing what they, you know, their background. And I was not surprised to see that Eric is a fellow graduate of St. Anthony's High School on Long Island. And that Friar connection is real and deep. And I'm a 90 graduate, and I think he's a 2000 graduate. And we met for the first time in person here today, and we talked about the school like we went there together. So it was really neat just to make that connection, and not surprised to see his dedication to the sport and to making other people better. So,
and, you know, with the sport, bringing up St. Anthony's, the deep history of, you know, pro players that are in the league right now, talking about the PLL, the NLL, how cool is it for you as an alumni to see some of these guys out there performing at, you know, peak levels in the pro game of lacrosse?
So I played my sophomore year in high school. And I realized that I was watching a lot of good lacrosse even back in 1990. And then when you saw it develop and take off, that program just keeps producing quality players. But again, the connection also runs deep. When I was in the Lehigh Valley, Lafayette had a star attackman, Tom Perini, came out and talked to my team. When my son was old enough to start playing, he was out there giving a shooting clinic. Dante Fantoni at Lehigh would always make time to speak to my son, to talk to his friends at games. So the connection to the game is amazing with that high school. And I'm always so proud when I'm watching the game, whether it's the NLL or PLL, to hear the names. And sometimes you're seeing multiple kids on a line from that high school. But they're good people too, which is even better.
You know, speaking of the PLL too, I've asked a bunch of people this today, you know, to see the likes of Chris Bates, Chris Collins, and Todd McFarlane out here today, you know, dedicating their time during a bye week for the All-Star break in the PLL to come out here and support Shootout for Soldiers. How cool is that, you know, for the event, for everybody involved who's playing, the behind-the-scenes stuff, to see best of the best pro-level coaches coming out and dedicating some of their time?
Yeah, you know, it just shows you what this sport's about, right? It's called the medicine game. There is a connection here. There's something about this game that draws people out. I'll give a shout out to even like the referees that are here. We've been running almost every weekend with a tournament, whether it be high school or youth level. It gets exhausting. And these guys got one email was sent out, and they filled all the slots with guys. So whether it's the professional players and coaches, to the referees that are here. I mean, and these guys are volunteering their time. And it's just amazing. The sport gives a lot. I can tell you that I always feel like I get something from this sport. And that's why I think many of us feel like we have to give back then.
You know, to see that back in 2012, Shootout for Soldiers was started by high schoolers. To be a high school coach, how cool is it to see something from that youth level evolve into what it is now 10 years later and, you know, still going strong, if not stronger?
It's amazing. There are so many dedicated and really ingenious young men out there and women who are ready to use this sport to do something better, right? To make the world a better place, whether it's Shootout, Headstrong, or you see all the time charity events going on associated with this sport. And maybe I'm a little biased because I'm so attuned to lacrosse more than other sports, but I do see it. It's more than other sports in my area anyway, of this sport constantly giving back. In our hometown, we did a fundraiser called Lax for Food, and everybody bought a can of food. And in 10 years, we had over 10 tons of food, you know, over 20,000 pounds of food donated. So it's amazing. You know, people are always more generous than you can imagine, whether it's with their time, or their financial donations, or their talents in giving back. I mean, you have professional coaches out here today talking to kids, you know. And here's one thing I'll say. When you see these professional players out here with the really young kids, watch what they do. They get down on the knee, and they get face-to-face with these kids. They don't look down on them. They get face-to-face. And I can tell you, for my son, it made a world of a difference, you know.
You know, to be from, you know, the Pennsylvania, Philadelphia area, you see a bunch of guys now as well finally cracking through in that pro level as well. How cool is that for you, you know, being native to here, seeing the likes of, you know, Matt Rambo, Michael Sowers, and all the Philly guys. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's great. You know, for a long time, it was, especially when I was growing up, it went Maryland, skipped over Pennsylvania, went to Long Island. And I got to say, from the Lehigh Valley down, it's a hotbed. There's a lot of talent coming out from the Lehigh Valley and the Philly area, and they're making an impact in NCAA and professional. And they've set the standard high now for these young men who are coming up in the sport, of what they can achieve. They've opened a door.
And then you see, you know, also in the likes of the NLL as well, where Philadelphia's back with the Wings and everything, and it's almost like some of those guys who may not be from Philadelphia, they kind of get adopted as Philadelphians, whether it's Blaise Reardon, Trevor Baptiste.
How about it,
right? It's one of those things that I feel like anybody who's rooting for the Wings, too, we kind of consider them Philadelphians as well.
You get initiated,
yeah.
Right? And, you know, this area will adopt you as a son very quickly if you put on their jersey.
And I feel like it's very similar here, too, where we've had a bunch of people today that I've gotten to talk to. This is the first time they've ever strapped up the cleats and gone out and played lacrosse. And, you know, boom, they're right in the mix. They're feeling at home, and it's that sense of community.
And that's the beauty of this. You have some guys that this may be the only time a year that they put on a helmet and cleats, to guys who we have one guy out here who plays NCAA lacrosse, with guys who put on the helmet once a year, and no one cares. You know, they're here just to have fun, play a little bit competitive, but at the same time, they just want to make sure that everyone's okay at the end of the day. We all got jobs to go to tomorrow.
Exactly. And, you know, with your background as a coach, too, and we talked about it earlier, where, you know, you had players going to war and everything, to see veterans out here get a chance to kind of have that fun and kind of have that sense of, you know, taking the deep breath in and just going out there, relaxing, kind of being carefree for, you know, 12 hours on a Wednesday night. How cool is that?
It's amazing. You know, when I got here, I think we saw the tail end of the Veterans Game. And if you're not moved by it, then you don't get what this event is about. And I can tell you, even when we did our little small game in the Valley, we had a number of veterans who were there. I always say, when we're out here doing this event, whether it's 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, 2 in the morning, there's some sailor, marine, soldier, guardsman, airman who is standing watch for us. And they're doing that so we can have this fun. So if we can have veterans play in our game and join in that, even better.
You know, this obviously we talked about it earlier as well, being the first time back in Philly, full blown as the event since 2019. Seeing the turnout today, how do you think things can, you know, continue to grow and really put Philly Shootout for Soldiers back out on the map for 2023 and beyond?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that the absence of 2 years, the first year back is always, you're always getting back in that groove. So I think that the success of this year, it'll start to build back in on itself. It's hard to miss an event for 2 years. because schedules quickly get adjusted. Families go on vacation. They assume in their calendar this is not going to happen. So now let's hope that this gets back on a calendar, gets back on a list of priority, and happens. You know, one of the things, not only in the, well, probably more so in the Philly area, this area from Philly down to Delaware becomes the Mecca for recruiting in the summer. We're so close to New York. We get people from Ohio. We get people from everywhere. I mean, I was just reffing a tournament last weekend where we had a team from Seattle, from LA. They were in the area, and they're going to stay for another tournament again this weekend. That wears a little bit, you know, so there is sometimes tournament fatigue. And so I think the art of what Shootout's going to have to do is how do we adapt into that or adapt with that tournament schedule? Because, it, like I said, for the officials and for families, it takes a lot out of you going to these events.
And I've asked everybody I've had up here, when you pulled up to this facility, did your jaw hit the ground? Because I was blown away.
So the first time I came up here was, I think, well, we took the 2-year break, so 4 or 5 years ago. And you're coming in at 2 a.m. And even at 2 a.m, this facility is impressive. It's very impressive.
I had some of the guys up here earlier. They said they took the school and put it in the gated community.
That's right. You drive through the heart of the main line to get here.
I said, I should not be pulling up to a Hogwarts-like thing in a Honda Civic right
That's
now.
That's right.
And I got to ask you, since you are from the area, what's the go-to cheesesteak spot?
Oh, listen, I'm going to give a shout out to the Lehigh Valley, and there's only one place you go to for cheesesteaks. That's Giacomo's on the Hill in Easton, Pennsylvania.
We have a series coming out on our network where we're just going and kind of highlighting and taste cheesesteaks all like the tri-state area at first and building it out. So I'm collecting recommendations from people that know what they're talking about. So that will be added to the list.
Put Giacomo's on your list of places to see. It's a wonderful addition to the Easton. So
this was a blast. Thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure. And,
we'll have to do it again next year.
Yeah, great.
Shout out to the homies at Shootout for Soldiers. I'm very excited to hopefully be back at Shootout Philly next year. It was an absolute blast, and it was something that, you know, when we look back on 2022 in a couple months of everything we've been able to accomplish, that will certainly stick out as one of the highlights this year. But without any further ado as well, pun intended there, let's get into it. It is
Mountain Dew tickle your innards, cause there's a bang in every bottle. Yahoo! Mountain Dew!
It's a Drake Porter Dew review brought to you by not the company, but brought to you by Drake Porter's love for Mountain Dew. We're kicking it to another classic spinoff. It's Voltage. The Voltage. Now, a few weeks ago, when Deej and I were on our way back from DC. Oh, interesting. Mine has a blue cap. Yours has white. Deej and I had the Darkberry Bash at Applebee's that, I think I'm speaking for both of us, blows this out of the water. Darkberry Bash is everything you want from a blue raspberry flavored drink. Voltage is dew charged with raspberry citrus flavor and ginseng. Now, when I was a freshman in college, Deej, there was a week that I had that rivals and reflects everything that I do on a weekly basis now, where lack of sleep, I was not built different yet, and I did have a day where I totally like got addicted to Voltage Mountain Dew. I was like, I need to stay awake, I have to work, I have homework, I have papers to write, I don't know how to survive. And I think that was the beginning of the end for putting my six-pack in the refrigerator, if you know what I'm saying. That killed me. So we're going to do Voltage here to recap last time we had a do review, which was, if you listen every week, it was last week. Deej and I did Code Red. It was
awful.
Basura. And to recap our scores, Spark overall as a podcast has an 8.9 rating, which is still the highest, or if not tied with the highest. I have to go back and write our Darkberry Bash score in. Livewire, which is orange, has a 7. Major Melon has an 8.7. Maui Burst, which is pineapple, has a 7.6. Frostbite has an 8.8 asterisk. That was from the can. That will be changed. Flamin' Hot has a score of a 1. Legend from Buffalo Wild Wings has an 8.6. Baja Gold, which is also pineapple, got a 7.9. Baja Mango Gem got an 8.7. Darkberry Bash is in there. I just don't have the score written down. And then Code Red last week got a 3.1. I can't tell you the last time I had Voltage, but I can tell you I'm probably going to be a hard grader on this one again.
It's been a while since I've had it. I'll probably be a little nicer on the grading than you. I don't mind it, but I do feel I may be knocked down from what I used to feel about Voltage due to Darkberry Bash, but we'll see.
So here it is, Mountain Dew Voltage. The label is pretty sweet. I like the evil scientist looking guy as the mascot, as Deej holds it up there to the camera for everybody watching on YouTube. He looks like a mix of Doc Brown from Back to the Future, Jamie Foxx's Electro, and you might be too young for this, but there was a Burger King, like, you know how like McDonald's has like their mascot group? Burger King had this kid. His name was Kid ATV, I think, and he was like this kid from the future who had like these like the goggles that this guy has on. Same thing, had like a jetpack and like this space suit. That's what I like immediately thought of. I'll put a picture of him in post for everybody to see it if you don't know who I'm talking about. But that's like early 90s Burger King stuff right there. But here it is, Mountain Dew Voltage, charged with raspberry citrus flavor and ginseng. It's a Drake Porter Dew review. Ooh wee!
Smell it already.
Oh my god, I forgot this smell.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, it smells better than it tastes. I guarantee that. It smells like what the blue Sour Patch Kids taste like. That's what this smells like.
You can smell the ginseng for sure.
It smells so sour. It's better than I remember it.
So much different now. So much different now. Oh my god.
It is better than I remember it. Has a slight, like, that ginseng-y aftertaste.
Yep.
The raspberry flavor is a lot more forward than I was expecting. Which is a good thing for me.
It's like splashed at the beginning. Like,
yeah. And then you taste the citrus on the back end.
Yep.
Which I don't know what citrus it is. Because it's not lemony.
It's just like basic citrus.
Like, is it? And I don't know if it's like orange. I'm going to go back in.
Maybe tangerine.
Or like lime.
I don't think so.
Because you know how like lime is like very subtle sometimes. Well, what's the label say? Let's see. Well, it's obviously citric acid.
Right. Thanks, label.
I don't know. I don't know what they're trying to get with the citrus, but you can kind of taste it on the back end. It's better than I was anticipating. That's for sure. It's not better than Darkberry Bash, which I believe you gave a 9, and I think I gave it an 8.8. So, yeah, because I think it was tied with Spark. It's not crossing the 9s for me. It's better than Frostbite, for sure. This solidifies us changing our Frostbite score. I'm going to go and say that this gets an 8.3 from me. I'm going to say 8.3.
I'm going to have to say 8.1.
Almost on the same page. So 8.3, 8.1, quick math, that's an 8.2, which is pretty solid in the grand scheme of our scores. It's the lowest 8 score we've ever given as an overall score, but it is higher than Baja Gold by 0.3. It's obviously higher than Flamin' Hot. I think it's going to eventually be higher than Frostbite when we adjust our score there. It's higher than Maui Burst, and it's higher than Livewire, and it's obviously higher than Code Red. So it's right smack dab in the middle. It was way better than I was anticipating, that's for sure, especially after the debacle that Code Red was last week. This was much, much better.
Having Darkberry Bash ruined this. It used to be so good to me. Like definitely.
Still think 8.1 is solid.
I mean, yeah, very solid, but this was up in like the 9s for me, for sure.
Wow.
It's been knocked down a lot. But like, it was the closest thing to a blue raspberry Mountain Dew we've ever had. So
yeah.
To get a true blue raspberry Mountain Dew, like, definitely knocked this down several notches. Because now it's just off brand.
I think they each have their own qualities.
Oh, definitely. 100%. It's like you could tell this like wasn't like a true blue raspberry that they were going for.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it just happened to be blue and it has the raspberry and other flavors.
And you also got to think this is available to everybody. The Darkberry Bash is exclusive and you don't know how long it's going to stick around. Which, if it was up to us, we'd bottle that bitch and put it out to everybody.
They better bottle it.
They
might get a letter from me about that.
I think 8.2 is pretty solid for this. We'll have due reviews through the end of the month, because that's what we got to do. All pun intended. We got one in the pipeline for 2 weeks from now. And if you're a true spooky season fan, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. But that brings us to final segment, which is Colin Squire's top five. And we're doing color combos. Now, this one came to me, and I think last week I said we were going to do them all like spooky season related. But this one came to me scrolling Twitter when I saw the announcement that Mackie was going to work for the Thunderbirds. I said, man, purple and orange. One, that is a spooky season color combo. It's such a good color combination. So we're going to do our top five color combos, and it's brought to you by, a sponsor that I don't know if we've ever talked about them on this show. It's our pals over at Trophy Smack. We have all new and improved stuff for you guys. You got to up your smack talk. And I think, Deej, we got to talk to Trophy Smack and see if they can get us something for our pick segment one way or another, because it's the ultimate way to improve your smack talk in your fantasy sports leagues. They got trophies, rings, belts, you name it, they got it. You guys can go to trophysmack.com/underground, and it supports the show, and you know, it'll help us continue to make the dope contents for you guys. And if you're doing fantasy lacrosse, it's a perfect way to up your fantasy lacrosse league with a new and improved trophy from Trophy Smack. So it's trophysmack.com/underground, and go tell them we sent you. Deej, top five color combos. Shout out to Colin Squires. I believe last week I started first, so you have the honors of the number one pick here in the color combos top five.
One question before we dive into this. Are we doing primary, secondary, or primary, secondary, tertiary?
Let's make the third pick primary, secondary, tertiary. So like a three color combo. That'll be our third pick. Everything else, let's do it two colors.
Okay. I guess for the first, I have to keep it as simple as possible. Something that, I mean, honestly, no matter what you put it on, where you put it, what type of logo, anything like that, jersey, everything, black and red can't beat me, really. Like, it's such an elite color combo that goes together.
Yeah, that is, I would say, pretty close to 100% the consensus number one. My number one is going to be, I think, one of the coolest color combos out there. It's kind of the opposite of black and red in a way. It is that powder blue and yellow a la San Diego, Los Angeles Chargers. I think that is one of the sweetest color combos out there. And it's like one of the most undefeated NFL jerseys, and it's heavily underutilized in my opinion. So also think Connecticut Hammerheads. Powder blue and yellow is my number one pick. And then on the wraparound number two, I am going to go with, I'm gonna go kind of spooky season in a way. It's I think it's another underutilized one. It's one that not a lot of people think of. Neon green, or like a lime green and purple. I think those two, thinking like Mojo Jojo from the Powerpuff Girls, thinking, you know,
the mask.
Yeah. I'm going to go lime green and purple. You know, OG comic book Green Goblin. Like, I think it's one of the more underutilized combinations of colors. They go so well together, and it's like in your face almost. So I'm going to go lime green and purple as my number two.
I mean, staying on that green wave, got to go with the homies. I mean, green and yellow, and that bright, vibrant yellow looks so good on that dark green.
Shout out Lil Wayne.
Vibrant yellow guy. But yeah, I mean, shout out Lil Wayne, green, yellow, the Packers. Redwoods. I mean, Supersonics always looked good in their jerseys back in the day. Like, I mean, there's tons of, I think the Minnesota Timberwolves have a green and yellow jersey mm-hmm. as well. Celtics obviously use green and gold as well. Like, there's plenty of teams you can point out that use green and gold. I think it looks good in whatever shade you use. I definitely like that cutaway for multiple reasons.
Your tertiary pick, your third pick.
I wanted to use this colorway earlier, but saved it for the tertiary because of the way gray, which is the tertiary color here, plays off of these other two, navy blue and baby blue. They look so good. Navy blue and baby blue look good together regardless. I mean, we can take off multiple accounts where those two colors are used and they look fantastic. But then you throw in the gray as well, and it just adds another touch. And there's so many different grays you can use, right? You can use light gray, you can use dark gray, you can do charcoal, you can do basic gray. And they all add a different flavor with those two colors of navy blue and light blue. That colorway is almost undefeated.
My tertiary pick. This is one that's going to be tough. Trying to think of a good one. I'm going to go with, hmm, This is the beauty of editing. You know what? I'm going to go with our podcast logo colors. Teal, yellow, gray. I think when I was conjuring up that logo in the press box at Johns Hopkins University at Homewood Field, I was trying to find the best color combos there. So I'm going to go teal, yellow, and gray, just like our podcast logo. And then my number four pick is, I think, one of the best combos of colors out there. It is the throwback Phillies color combo, powder blue and maroon. I think those two colors play off each other so, so well. And when you just see them together, it's like, wow. Like, that's just aesthetically pleasing. So I'm going to go maroon and powder blue as my number four pick.
Staying on that powder blue wave. And obviously, I love that color a lot. But also, the chrome, that colorway with the pink, you bring up Miami Heat. I have 1,001 shirts that have pink and blue, pink and blue in it. It's just like they play off of each other so well. The hot pink, the vibrant shine of it that pops out at you, sitting on the cool light blue that literally just lays there is fantastic. And then,
yeah, it's a good one.
I guess I got a fifth. Gotta go OG here. Red and navy blue. I mean, you can put those two colors together in so many different ways. I mean, I don't think we can count all of the sports teams that use red and navy blue on your hands and toes and other extremities at that point. and you know, between the two of us, we still wouldn't have enough. It's such an easy colorway to go with that, like, you can't go wrong using.
My last pick. I'm trying to think of one to snag here that is also, like, underutilized. And not one to, like, repeat any of the other colors that I have on my palette.
I think you go with the one that inspired all of those.
Yeah, I was thinking that, but then I was also, like, looking at my my palette here, and I'm like, I don't have any red whatsoever. I'm gonna pay homage to my alma mater. I'm gonna go red and gray. I think red and gray is.
I literally hate you.
Granted, my gray for my high school is a lighter gray. It's not like charcoal or anything. It's more towards
So is theirs.
It's not quite that.
Your red is better red. I'll say that's the better way to go about this. Your red looks much better, especially with the gray.
The red and gray, man, it looks great every Friday night when the boys are rocking that on the field. It just looks so aesthetically pleasing. It's clean. It's classic. So I'm going to go red and gray. Shout out to the fighting clan of Vineland High School. DJ, any honorable mentions that come to mind? I also didn't name the orange and purple because it was like the inspiration, and we tend to stay away from the inspirations on our list.
I would throw them an honorable mention.
Undefeated orange and purple is so good.
I would throw them an honorable mention for sure.
I think the whips red and teal combo is great.
That's good as well. The purple and blue, I think, as well, done really well. The baby blue with the dark purple. We've seen that in the NBA a few times. I thought that looked well. The bright red with baby blue also looks really well. The Oilers comes to mind. Old school Houston Oilers, not Edmonton Oilers. They come to mind. Chicago did it with one of their city jerseys. I think that colorway looks really good as well. honestly, maroon and gold look great together. Thinking of the Cavs, thinking of the Hickory Pacers jerseys, Commanders, as much as you hate them, I think.
Ugh, their new jerseys are gross.
They are, but the colorways is fantastic if you do it black, the right way.
Black and yellow is great.
Looking down at, yes, black and yellow is always great if you do it the right way. I think some people have messed it up.
Shout out Wiz.
With certain jerseys. The Seminoles, I mean, you know, Florida State, they have 1,001 colors between brown, maroon, black, white, blue, whatever else they use down there. But, I mean, they put it all together well. It looks great. Maryland has a fantastic colorway if they would stop using the flag and everything. They're worse than Texas. We get it. You got Maryland pride. Get over it.
Yeah.
Your flag is not a part of your design. Just use the colors.
I think the Eagles green with that gray, that light gray that the Eagles have, is a great combo. I mean, traditional red and royal blue, like the Phillies, the New York Giants, like, they really pop.
Also, like when the Giants wear those navy blue helmets,
mm-hmm.
I think that looks really. It's a really good play off of the other blue and stuff.
We're dumb. It's one of my favorite combos. You hate it, but black and purple. And if you want to go tertiary, black, red, and purple.
I don't mind black and purple too much.
Purple and yellow is great.
It's this colorway that I hate the absolute most. Yes. Orange and blue looks so bad together. Well, they don't look bad together. They look honestly great together.
It triggers me. I'm like a bull looking at a matador when I see that, because it's the New York Mets to me. It's my rival high school to me.
Like, there isn't a team outside of the Archers that I think look good in orange and blue.
Mm-hmm.
That I like. I'm not saying these teams look bad. I just don't like
them. I'd say the Edmonton Oilers look pretty okay.
I don't think necessarily the colorway is bad. Some teams have put together some good jerseys, and I'm like the Knicks with the pinstripes on all of the edges. Those jerseys that they did with the white and the blue, like, those look good. Like, you can make the colorway look good. I just don't like any of the teams that wear them outside of the Archers. Bears can go to hell if you ask me. All of them.
Silver and black, the Raiders.
Can't go wrong. Shout out,
classic.
Shout out KU Lax.
It's more
black and white.
Although it's more shades than color, if you want to get technical. Yeah.
I went gray, black, and white. I still haven't decided on gray. I haven't decided on light gray or charcoal.
I think light blue and gray, like the Lions, looks great.
Also think navy blue and maroon, but only in soccer kits. Or like something like this, where you can do the pinstripes and you can have one
Avalanche.
Of the colors darker. Well, but I think some of their jerseys look tacky.
Fair.
With how they do the colors, but like with the soccer kits, it's like one color is faded and one color pops, and they do the pinstripes right where the colors are faded, and they don't look tacky on top of each other. They look very uniform. I haven't seen another sport do it the way that soccer has done it.
I'm trying to think if we've missed anything.
I mean, obviously navy blue and gold. Amazing blue. You know. Can't go wrong with that colorway.
I'll give it to you. To be fair, when you said navy blue and gold, my brain immediately went to the University of Notre Dame. Is just yucky.
Almost made me throw up.
Orange and black, even though they piss me off, the Flyers jerseys are some of the best in all of sports.
Cream and red, some of the throwback Wings jerseys.
Depending on who, like, some of those can get butchered, in my opinion, because some people misuse, like, that cream color, and it's not great. Yeah.
As somebody whose fraternity is cream, yes. Yes, people definitely use it wrong. You also have, I think the Phillies do their cream very well. the Wings have some, or the Red Wings have some throwback creams with their red that look great. Like, if you do the cream well, who else did cream well? Milwaukee Bucks, although it's not red, they did the cream well with their green and their shades of blue. So I think their colorways actually go very well together.
Mm-hmm.
The cream, green, blue, and black, or whatever they use. There's light purple in there as well. That's a fancy colorway as well.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else that like stand. I mean,
what was his name that wore all the crazy suits and had a couple years ago? I don't know why I think his first name was Richard, his last name was Seeker, but that's not it. He was an NBA sideline reporter for all the crazy
jackets. Oh, Craig Sager.
Yes, see, Sager was right. Craig Sager. Anything he put on is a crazy color. That's a fire colorway. That man could come out wearing nothing that matched and still was the best dressed in a 100-mile radius.
Rest in peace to a goat.
Oh, rest in peace.
Yeah, I think that's pretty solid across the board. Anything we forgot?
Anything Matt Murdock puts on, because it definitely doesn't match.
There's anything we forgot, leave it in the YouTube comment section. We will sift through them and read them. You know what's kind of under it? Navy blue and pink.
I don't think I have anything navy blue. I don't think I know anything navy blue.
I'm like looking at it because that's how I have our Dark Berry Bash color coded. It's pretty solid.
It could.
So yeah, leave your favorite color combos in the comment section on YouTube, and let us know what you want us to top five next. Shout out to Colin Squire, shout out to Trophy Smack. But make sure you guys are following us on the socials at OTB LaxPod, Twitter and Instagram. Follow Deej on Twitter at @SCS_NextGreat. Follow me at KBIZZL311. Subscribe to the podcast feed, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, we are there. Leave those 5-star ratings and reviews. Subscribe to the Underground Sports Philadelphia YouTube channel. You get full video episodes of OTB and all of your favorite Underground Sports Philadelphia podcasts. Smash that like button, ring the bell icon, comment down below, and of course, help us get to 1,000 subscribers. The quicker we get there, the more kick-ass content we can produce. Because it really helps us continue to grow in the direction we're trying to get to. Big thank you to our sponsors, Tomahawk Shades, Kenwood Beer. Shout out to Pickup. Nothing to really prop bet this week, but go to playpickup.com. Start playing the hottest headlines in sports. Tomahawk Shades, Pickup, Trophy Smack, Kenwood Beer, and Bino Board. All of their info linked in the description on YouTube and in the show notes on audio. But this has been episode number 243 of the allegedly award-nominated number 9 NCAA ranked. And of course, I still think number 9 Shrek-rated. And viewable on YouTube, Outside the Box Podcast, the official lacrosse podcast on the Underground Sports Philadelphia Podcast Network. For Deej, I'm KB. Till next week, we are signing off. Peace.
And that's Outside the Box.